Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And welcome in. It's going to be a big day here on the show. Got a lot going on, Mark Blankenbaker. Good morning.
Yeah, man. We're going to have Jeff Brom in at 8 o'clock.
That's right.
A little UFC news.
I was gonna run it all down here, but yeah, we got a lot going on. I'm leaving here, and I think, like many things in my life, Birdhead Ryan is the first to tell me.
Okay.
Or it occurs when we're in mid conversation with Birdhead Ryan.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
as he was on the air, and we find out that Jeff Brom is. Scott Satterfield is leaving, which at the same time means Jeff Brom is coming to Louisville.
Yeah.
But you know, he was only two games over 500 at Purdue. You know, I mean, it's just idiots. How y'all feel? By the way, I don't take enough victory lap on those idiots. How are you feeling now, you idiots?
You don't take enough victory
laps? There's not enough. I took so much crap for that. I don't. I'm going to continue this for a long time. I don't even. Now, Kelsey Burns not even. I'm talking about these jackasses on the text line.
Oh, the text line.
I want to just search two over 500 on the text line.
It made me nervous yesterday when you accepted a $100 bet. Right, like a, but because here's the thing, I've accepted bets on the text line before, they always well.
Well, the text line, they're anonymous cowards,
right?
For the most part,
like one guy, it was like it was Sats last year, and he was like, they're not going to win four games. I was like, I'll take that for the mat. He's like, I'll bet you.
You find out a lot about a person's character when they don't pay their bets,
right? And he's like, they're not going to win four games. So like, I'll take that for the maximum allowable, whatever you want. They'll win more than four games. And he said, I accept. And I said, well, how much we going? Because I'll take your house. I'll go to the maximum that you want to go to. And never.
Yesterday was never a reasonable bet, as I said. I think Louisville will make the tournament, make $100, whatever. Fine. You know, of course, we've had Brandon Lang, offer up to $1,000 bet if Tiger will never win another major. Wins the next major, double or nothing.
It wasn't a
parlay.
You need to pay now. You need to pay now.
Yeah.
You need to pay.
Yeah.
You and Locke both.
Like,
need to eat
I
it.
Felt bad and. With the Squares thing, because like Venmo thought I was a drug dealer and stopped letting me send money. And so I was late paying a lot of people. And I paid the last person off, and that was like an overpay. So if I somehow still owe anyone a dollar from that, please let me know. But Venmo just assumed I was Nino Brown.
Well, I think sometimes
you don't
it's
get
like
that reference. That's New Jack
City.
Nino
Brown, New Jack City. Okay. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. That's like in that era where we kind of have a gap.
I probably shouldn't have been able to see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those movies that you shouldn't have been able to see when you're 8, 9, 10 years old.
You didn't want to grow up and live in the Carter?
It wasn't really all that appealing. Yeah. But no, I do know Nino Brown.
Chase, you ever seen New Jack City?
No.
I think it would age okay.
I would think so.
I think it would age okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it. I mean, it's a timepiece.
Yes. Yes.
So you don't have to worry about, well, they don't have the proper cell phones. There's no iPhone in this movie.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was set for that time.
I think it aged well. Yeah, because they weren't invented yet.
Or not, right.
There might have been a mobile phone in that movie.
Yeah, there probably was a brick phone.
The giant one, yeah.
My dad had a giant brick phone.
Yeah.
Did your dad have one of those?
No. The guys in front of us did at U of L games and always thought they must be the richest people alive.
Oh, that's what you thought?
Yeah. Well, he's a doctor. You know, he was a doctor. So,
he kind of needed call.
Yeah,
if something happens, and I need to do a heart transplant, I have to leave the football game.
It's the size of a milk jug. You know, I mean, it was not something you could put in your pocket. It's ridiculous. I don't know how we get to the Carter that early and Nino Brown, but
I don't know. We did.
But we so Birdhead Ryan breaks news to me. So I'm walking down the parking lot, and I get the text of that the UFC is coming to Louisville for a fight night. And, right. and I'm like, so I call Max. I send him a tweet, and I call him. And unfortunately, the only place that Verizon signal isn't better than T-Mobile's is the parking garage here. And oh, that's God, where I was. Terrible. So I wanted to hear his live reaction, and I lost the signal. Then I called him back, and he was, of course, pumped beyond the moon. I'm calling people at Yum Center. I'm calling Ron Kruk, who calls fights. I'm contacting ESPN's, ESPN Radio to figure out how we could partner with this.
Sure.
I'm calling our friends at DraftKings, who have the VIP program.
Right.
And saying, all right, here, what y'all going to do here? So I got us on that.
That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah. You guys are going to be annoyed. And so people that don't understand it, this is not like UFC 300. If it's a numbered event, those are the big pay-per-view events. These fight nights are sort of what's in between, and they
set the stage for
they
the
go behind the like it's not a pay-per-view. It's like you get a season pass if you buy like the fight pass, which we have. And so it's that level of event. But it is, these guys are all, they're, you know, a bunch of them you'll see at the numbered events at some point soon. So there's yep. almost no details on it yet. Like the promoter and the Yum Center haven't even, they don't even know the card yet. Although, as Max pointed out, because he knows everything, he's like, well, they'd have to have an idea of a couple of fights because dude's got to know about their training schedule. And I'm like, well, that's a good point too. So
yeah, but they might not be ready to announce those yet.
Yeah, no, they, no, the they're not. But they might probably have a working copy, without sure. what I call it. Yeah.
It's exciting. I know it's exciting for Max.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
I mean, it doesn't do anything at all for me.
You wait till you go. You wait till
no,
you
I mean,
go.
I'll
we're,
go.
We are going to sit you up close. And
oh, I'll go.
And you'll have to know the backstories because otherwise...
Oh, I'll sit me next to Max. It'll be great.
He'll be working somehow, someway.
Oh, he's going to work. Okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's great. Yeah,
yeah. Forget that. This is a career opportunity. We're not doing college. We're doing this.
Okay.
We're going to work. We're going to... Instead of travel sports, we're going to do travel work because that's actually going to lead to money.
Okay.
You know?
All
man,
right.
I mean, Chase, you coach soccer. Not a lot of them are going to be professional soccer players.
Now, trust me, I'm trying to preach it.
So. Yeah. So, this is... When people are traveling for summer sports, we're traveling for MMA events to work.
It's going
to
be great.
And
well,
so,
I love it. Well, it's exciting. I saw a lot of the social media reaction, and I was like, man, people are really, really into this stuff. And
yeah.
it makes a ton of sense.
It's gonna be awesome.
I'm not into it, but that doesn't mean anything.
You will love it.
Oh, you know,
I liked
going to Monday Night Raw when we went to that. Like, I didn't watch the next Monday Night Raw.
The energy of it is just, it's off the charts. It's animalistic. Have you been to a fight before, Chase?
No, I haven't been. Yeah. I'm going to go to that one. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Boys, on this one, I got you.
Yeah. I went to some unsanctioned ones in college.
Well, no, it's a long way from those ridiculous
like
things.
Over on 7th Street,
right.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I mean, I actually worked... the ring, like I was like the ring announcer.
Oh, really?
Not like the more like the interviewer, not the you know in this. I wasn't doing the in this corner.
Yeah.
I could not.
Yeah.
And now, no, I can't do that. No. That was pretty much my afternoon yesterday.
That's awesome, man.
I just like
how excited is he?
He wasn't with me yesterday, but I called him a couple of times. And hey, the guy that told it was on last week. You know, Aaron Brunstetter, who we had on Friday, predicted this.
Yeah, he called it, and I was like, oh, okay, that'll be cool. And then all of a sudden, there it is.
And he didn't say it like it might happen. He's like, yeah, it's coming your way.
Wow.
And he was
broke
right.
News.
So we're getting him on this morning. Yeah.
Okay, even better. So we'll talk
I'm
about
making all kinds of friends in the MMA industry for a reason. You know,
gambling
like,
reasons.
Well, like, professional reasons for your son. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I get it.
I mean, that is help your friends, hurt your enemy. Help your family is like way ahead of your friends. Hell with your friends if you can help your family. You know.
Absolutely.
Like you, Blanket Baker, not as much as Max.
No.
If I got totally. Push one of you overboard, hope you can swim.
I can. I'll be fine. But I totally expect that. You don't have to. Why would you push me overboard?
Well, maybe I was being ordered to. I don't know. Somebody have to get to push one person
oh, okay.
over, Max or Blanket
Baker. I was
like,
Baker. Why couldn't
See
I Mark? Stay on the boat? Why couldn't I remain on
well,
the boat with
I don't
you
know.
And Max? I can fish.
Maybe someone's the captain now and says you have to push
okay.
one.
Okay, I know now that if it comes down to me or Max, it's going to be me. So what I have to do is now I have to take out Diener ahead of time. So
yeah,
now
well, fine.
I
yeah,
a preemptive strike.
If you want to do that, but if we ever get take pirates ever capture the boat and they say you got to push one of them
somebody's
over.
Somebody's got to walk the plane.
Yeah, it's you.
Right. Well, just make sure my hands aren't tied together.
Look,
I can swim.
No guarantees.
If my hands are tied together, you're killing.
Look, if that guy from the Tom Hanks, who called himself the captain, says to do something, I'm doing it. I mean, can we get some his hands? Can we get him softened up? No, he's going overboard.
Well, then you're killing him. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was that guy's only role.
That guy was
ever
the most believable pirate I've ever seen.
I think I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that was his only role. Yeah. Of course, you never know how. True, the internet is.
Yeah.
But especially these days in recruiting, the internet is full
Can
of
you
this.
Look that up. I can't imagine that guy was that good and never got another gig.
I think so. Let me see.
IMDb.
IMDb.
What was the name of
Captain
the movie?
Phillips?
Yes, that's it. Good call. I might have struggled with that one. I might have struggled with that one for a while.
Captain Phillips, full cast and crew.
But yeah, we got the got that word yesterday, so we'll be telling you plenty about
Barkhad Abdi.
Sure, whatever. I'm sure there's no way to pronounce it. So click on him and see if he's got other.
Okay. Sure. No, he's been in a couple other things.
Sure. Look at me. Sure. I'm the captain now.
It's the best.
He has been in a couple other things.
Okay.
It's not a big
false IMDb. Information. False information.
Well, you know, again, you read things on the internet and they're not right.
Okay. Well, then don't state it as fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon Marcello.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll get into some of that at this point. What happened with that yesterday? Again, my afternoon became, you know, calling everybody I know to try to get in on this.
Nothing new. I mean, there was a.
Not him specifically. I mean, with this whole. You know, Boongate or whatever.
Well,
these dopes out there going, oh, the chicks are bouncing. Like, these idiots.
Yeah, so Penny Boone was on Instagram, and he said something I'm always going to be about my business, second or third back or something like that, and was like, and then ended the video.
Wait. That sentence makes sense. I'm always going to be about my business.
And yeah, it was kind of a fragmented sentence.
He kind of like, at the end, he kind of scoffed. He was like, second or third back.
Right.
And then it was
well,
like,
he was.
And then he ended the.
Right. Like, it's not like.
And then his
and there's nothing wrong with that. Good night, man.
And then he put out clips of him practicing, and Harrison Bailey was the one handing the ball off to him.
Last I checked, Tyler Shuck's running with the ones.
Yeah. So there.
But are you. Okay. Just. That is the bad advising going on of some of these guys. Yeah. Like, right there. Like what you said, the backup quarterback's handing you the ball. That means you're running with the twos.
Right. No, totally. 100%.
Or the threes. Like, I don't know where Harrison Bailey is on
the
chart.
He's two or three.
Yeah.
He's two or three.
He then deleted it. So somebody told him.
Because he's got bad advisors.
Well, then, but then his agent, his player representative. Agent,
and by the way, who do we know? It's not like an NFLPA certified guy, right?
No, it's not. But there is an actual agency, and he did a sit down with Cardinal Confidential. It's kind of an emerging thing. But they. You know, he basically was talking well. He's like, the NIL was fine. He was paid like an RB1. Mm-hmm. You know, this wasn't about. This was more about the opportunity and fit. And then
it's April.
Spoke nice about one another, whatever. And so that kind of cleared that side up.
Okay.
And then Jalen Alderman hits the portal,
mm-hmm.
and then all the comments from Florida State and Ole Miss fans on the thing are like, the checks are bouncing, the checks are bouncing, the checks are bouncing, and you're like, the checks aren't bouncing, can you all shut up?
Well, no.
That's the damage
done.
It's
just like rush. There's no damage done. There's no damage done.
Well, again,
anybody with a I did. Anybody with a brain knows that these are like Russian bots, or they're trained bots, or this is all a poorly, it's such a obvious bad misinformation campaign that is squatch once you actually, if there was an actual example of anything like that happening, that would be the most easily screenshotable thing, I know that was a word, of all time. Like, that would be the easiest thing to prove. So it tells me we're going to be really good.
I know.
You don't do this to bad teams. So it's a poor effort. The only people that believe this are idiots. And people who spend too much time on Twitter, I mean, it's just, it's a poor effort. But again, I've never been more encouraged about the future of the football program.
Oh, God.
Because you've got a misinformation campaign on the internet.
Isn't it amazing?
It's awesome. It's awesomeness.
And we started our season with our front seven on defense, like totally stacked. And Jermaine Lole's leaving the program to get more playing time, and he's visiting Oklahoma. And I'm like, I feel really good about where we are. I feel really good. Yes, this is great. And Jalen Alderman, I love Jalen Alderman. Like,
I sent the audio there.
A moment in time.
That nobody even knew who he was.
They didn't.
Even Paul Rogers did not know who he was, because you hear the call right here. Just, you can hit play whenever.
Waits, has it. Louisville rushes hard. He throws over the middle. That's batted and intercepted. Louisville's got it. Coming to the 50. Coming to the 40. Down the sideline to the 30. To the 20. One man with a shot. Five. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The MVP of that call is Craig Swalbeck, because you hear him start to say something, and that call is iconic. And it wouldn't have been iconic if you had a dope color commentator going, oh, oh, Yeah. Play it again. You can hear him. He starts to say it.
Touchdown!
No, from the start. From the start. Touchdown! From the very start, you hear him start to, oh, and he lays out.
Waits, has it. Louisville rushes hard. He throws over the middle. That's batted and intercepted. Louisville's got it.
You heard that?
Coming to the 50, coming to the 40, down the sideline to the 30, to the 20. One man with a shot. Five. Touchdown! Touchdown!
That's why Swalbeck is great.
Yeah.
He gets radio. He understands radio. And he knew that when he got the natural excitement of someone, and people say they like the, oh, I like it when the color guy is going, yay, 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 yay. No, you don't. Because you don't get a call like that on an iconic play by an iconic announcer, an iconic moment. It would have screwed it up.
Yeah.
By going, whoa, go, yeah, duh.
Well, I know in the video, if you go to watch it on ESPN, there's a couple. And they embrace. They're doing crowd shots after the touchdown.
Yeah.
They're embracing, and they fall over, and all you see is their feet. It was mayhem in the stands. And I remember, I think I was standing next to Rummage, and I was like, "Who?" And he's like, "Who the hell is it?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Yeah,
like I didn't know.
McCall didn't know who it was because the guy it was his first play of the game, wasn't it?
It was his first play. Yeah, touchdown. And you know what? Like he surprised me last year starting the way he did all year and had a really nice year. But you could see Stanclon Clark, the Texas A&M linebacker transfer, Jarante Davis, I think is his name, coming in and being like, they're going to recruit over either TJ Quinn or Jalen Alderman. Yeah. Like, one of these guys isn't going to start. Alderman got beat out.
Yeah.
And I hate it because I'd like to have him on the team.
But he's not.
He lost a spot. I mean, that's just the way it is.
The big picture thing these guys are all missing, and I heard Pat Forty bring up the point because Matt Painter made the point at the Final Four, is that, you can do this. You can get more money in the short term, but what if you want to open up a business and plant your flag in this town? Jalen Alderman's name around here will ever be linked to that play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what his business aspirations are, but talk to the Scholarship for Life guys around here that having been, you know, a part of the program for 3-4 years and people seeing you develop, people getting to know you, people liking you, it is a scholarship for life if you use it the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of guys that are around town, especially on the football front, that are on high school staffs, that are, you know, still involved with football, that are doing stuff in the community that, you know, and a lot of guys go home. They go back to where they're from or whatever, yeah. But a lot of guys stick around.
But if you're chasing and going three different places, 3 years, yeah, you may have more money in the short term. But is that the smart long play?
Yeah.
I don't think if you're going to go to another school for, I don't know, $50,000, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Like if you're a high school kid, like, hey, I can get $50,000 more at this school. Okay, well, you're also throwing away a lot of legacy potentially here that will be worth a lot more than that. If you want to open, I don't know, an insurance agency, always just go to that. Those are based on relationships. A financial advisor. Ask Luke Hancock if it's been good for him in business.
Oh, sure.
To stick around town.
Well,
of course
I mean,
it has. Of course it has.
A small scale, that's Tyler Harrell. A great scale, that's Haley Van Lith.
Mm-hmm.
Like Haley could have been, she could have done a lot
here.
Of stuff
yeah.
here. And would have been able to be like an ambassador.
A great point.
Program.
No, that's a really good point.
You know, and she her name's Mud around here, man.
Especially you.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
No, but I get it. No, yeah. It's a great point. No, it's one of those, had she stayed, I'm sure LSU gave you more money for 1 year. But now where do you plant your flag? You're not going to stick around there. Maybe at age 18 to 27, how old these guys are, that you don't see that. But it's a real thing. I mean, ask the dudes that and girls. It's a great example because there have been very few female athletes that have been able to, you know, have that sort of staying power in their careers here. Because women's basketball is about the only one. I mean, now with volleyball, some of these volleyball players would be smart to stick around because they'll forever be linked.
Yeah.
To that you know, to their great teams.
And volleyball's always been able to do one time same year transfer. I mean, they've had that on the books for a long time, and that's a sport of transfer. But yeah, there's some players. Anna DeBeer.
It's the first name that came to mind. Anna DeBeer.
When she leaves here. You don't think that there's going to be coaching staffs or high school coaching
Forget
positions
that. Business people business. That want to hire her.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, she can call her shot.
Yes.
She can call her shot. And it's because she came back. She, you know, she didn't transfer.
It's like Patino always said, you're a commercial for yourself at all times.
Yeah.
Here. And that's she's been a great commercial for herself.
Definitely. So, yeah. You know, I think that's something that these players probably don't have a lot of data on.
Yeah.
But I get like a Jalen Alderman. who's got a three-year guy behind him, or that just took his spot, that's going to be older, that's going to be younger than him the whole time, and, you know, maybe go find a better spot. I understand.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I understand why he would transfer, you know, in spring practice. But also, guys get injured. You know, like Cam Kelly. I didn't think Cam Kelly was going to play until MJ Griffin got hurt last year.
Yeah. Well, the spring portal is, you know, again, I'll credit College Football Inquirer because I think it's the best show on the internet. The spring portal is really for teams to start trimming down. To say, hey, you know, and a lot of them overbook. You know, like an airline, and go, hey, you know, you might want to get on out. You know, you might want to find a place where you can have more playing time because it's not going to be here. But this is like the earlier portal is for players to go, I got to get out of here. And the spring portal is way more geared for teams like, we got some depth at that position. You might want to scoot.
Yeah, and you might be able to find a really nice player at a spot.
You might. Yeah.
You're not rebuilding your roster in the spring, but you're going to find some spot guys. We were lucky last year. We got two tackles out of the spring.
Yeah.
You know, we got a safety and a corner out of the spring. Guys that mattered and played for us.
Somebody's probably overbooked at wide receiver, you know?
Yeah.
And Louisville is probably going to go, okay, all right, we got too many running backs here. You guys got too many there. Okay, all right, well.
Or it's a team that had a coaching change and a player stuck it out to see what it was going to be like with the new coach. Didn't like the fit or the offense or the defense that they're in, so they're going to bounce out. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. There's also guys that, and I think this is the case with Eric Miller last year, he wanted to get his Purdue degree. And I want to finish with a Purdue degree. You finish your degree requirements, and then you come transfer in.
I love finding these guys that like leaves an Ivy League school after 3 years for a better NIL deal. Like, dude, you're going to Yale. You might want to stick around there with that Yale degree.
Well, that's why Thor's not with us now.
Yeah,
you know Thor Griffin.
Well, the Avengers had to mount up. You know,
yeah,
they had to round up.
He's at Harvard, and he's coming in, and he's got to finish his Harvard degree. You don't want to spend
you don't want to spend
3.5 years at Harvard and then get a Louisville.
Where'd you graduate
degree?
From Louisville? But I went to 3.5 years at Harvard. Let me get straight. You left Harvard?
No, you don't. You don't do that.
No, you just
don't do that. And so, you know, it makes sense. So there's lots of reasons why people would transfer in the spring.
So it's an interesting time. And I know for a lot of people, it's like, you know, this is not the reason I became a fan of the program. I get it, but this is the way it is. And, you know, it's one of those that you just... I thought I'd be excited like about the quote free agency period. Now I'm just kind of like, all right, let's just see what we have when it rolls around, because it's not worth keeping up when 45 guys are either coming or going. I think that's roughly the number around here.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
It can be
this
really
year.
For between the freshman and the transfer portal, you got
the incoming guys. And the outgoing. If you go on the tracker for 24/7, I think it's 45 or something like that. 20 going, 25 coming.
It can be really overwhelming, and so I've reverted to being like the Texas A&M linebacker. The UAB wide receiver, you know, the James Madison wing, you know, like
it's got to be tough as a high school player, because like you might be a really good player in a school you want to go to. I'd be like, well, why don't you go to the MAC for a year and play for Miami, Ohio, and then come see us.
My buddy Chad, he coaches over there at St. X, and he's like, we've got dudes that normally would be getting like Murray State. EKU level offers.
Yeah, what are they doing?
And they're not, because it's all getting pushed down.
Right, sure.
Everything.
So
everything
where do they go
downhill,
then?
And so then you've
NAIA
got
or?
NAIA or JUCO
D2,
or D2 or something like that. And so the more that happens, the more good players are going to be at these lower levels, because it's all going to run downhill.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. The way that trickle down effect for the high schooler
is
like, wow.
Because, I mean, you know, St. X, Trinity, these guys have. I mean, a lot of those, they have players that can play.
They've got to get to contracts with these. You're not going to contain the money. You're not going to contain the transfers. I think you can say, all right, we're going to sign you, this high school Joe, to a 2-year deal. And if you want to leave the school you want to go to, much like a coach, they're going to have to pay our collective.
Correct.
Or school, or however they do this. But you can't keep doing this with no contracts, I don't think.
I think the rights thing makes a lot of sense, because it gives the player more information about who wants them. I'm in the portal, but you got to buy out my contract at Louisville.
Yeah.
Okay? So now Georgia comes and they buy it out. Or you go into the portal and only Middle Tennessee and Jacksonville State come for you.
I just don't think you can continue to pay players, and it's not for NIL, it's payroll. You cannot continue to pay them and not have a contract. It's just stupid. It doesn't, and I think that's the one thing, since the NCAA can't really enforce much of anything, I don't know, the National Labor Relations Board, can they jump in? Like, I don't know who the ruling bodies are on this, but it seems to me they should have to have the contracts and stipulations, just like coaches do, you know, that if they leave, that they
made a step yesterday. The NCAA did. The D1 Council adopted rules allowing schools to assist student athletes with NIL opportunities, so schools can now be involved.
Oh, schools can be involved because Lord knows they're not involved now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so this will be ratified by the board next week, and so they can identify. So schools can now identify NIL opportunities and facilitate
they're
deals
not
between
NIL
the athletes.
NIL opportunities.
I know
they are pay for play opportunities. PFP.
Right, and then they conclude at the end the existing rules against pay-for-play and schools compensating student athletes for the use of their NIL remain in place.
They're just spitting into the wind. I know. Just stop it.
I don't know why they're holding on to it like this much. Like I actually think it would end all of it if you could just say the schools can pay and they can also retain the players' rights, just like a coach. If an assistant coach wants to be bought out of his contract, the school gets compensated for that coach. Same thing with the player.
Chase, I know you've got thoughts on all this, too. I really welcome your opinion.
It's weird because my biggest problem with it is it gives a false sense of how things work. You know, mm-hmm. like cause they get paid, like Trenton Flowers got paid and then he left. You don't, when you get out, and even when you play pro, you don't just get to not do anything and get paid. Like, yeah. It's not realistic. So they got to do something to regulate that because right now, like, kids that are my age and a little bit younger are getting pampered to the point where it's like they don't, when they actually get out to the real world, which is, I think, what the NCAA claims to care about other than making themselves
they're
going to
go pro in something other than sports. I've heard that before.
Yeah, and it's not going to be like that. Like, you've got to work to get paid.
I think what will happen ultimately is NIL people are done getting burned, and so
the market will correct itself to a certain extent.
But so are players. There are tons of players who have been promised NIL that have come up short. So I think what will happen is in the middle, schools will say, okay, we're going to sign you and we're going to retain your rights. But on the other end, what's going to be demanded is we got to make sure there's got to be a guarantee that that money is there.
Yeah, the market will correct itself. You will never, I mean, Trenton Flowers or anybody, I mean, I think the standard's got to be that you're not earning any money until you are enrolled and school starts.
Right. And then payments will resume after the portal closes and you're with us.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know why that's not
they're just going to have to. It's gone too far from they can't transfer. Here's 75 schools they can't transfer to. We might play them in another league.
Right.
You can go as many times as you want.
Something
to
in the
as
middle.
Many schools as you want. And again, I'll give Wetzel credit, a great lot. He goes, I get it. You know, you only get, you know, opportunities like this. College guys are only there for 4 to 10 years, you know, to have a chance.
4 to 10 years. That's true. How many years does Tyler Shuck been?
I mean,
eight?
Yeah, this is a brief year? Window. It might only be year? A decade of opportunities here.
I mean, the guy's married.
They changed spring practice.
For his wedding. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's about to start a family. We had a punter.
He's got a mortgage problem. Yeah, mortgage. I mean, yeah.
Who's the punter that was like, he had a mortgage?
Yeah. Like, did he go to Colorado? Or was that the guy that went to Colorado?
He went to Vassett. Mark Vassett was his name. But
So anyway, I just still can't imagine. And by the way, when they do contracts, they're going to have to be some certification. Because if you have an agent trying to explain to people that you're running first team and you post video with the second team, then you're an idiot. I don't know other way to explain it. You're certainly not a good agent.
No.
Like, if that person's representing you, hey, I'm going to show them how you were running first string, and they send video of you running with the second string.
With 14.
You fire your agent on the spot.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, but he and the agent that's probably taking like
makes 25, it real
20, 25%. Yeah. These guys, these NIL agents, they're getting a lot of the cut.
And it's like it's not and an NFL agent on a rookie contract, I think, is 1%.
Oh, I was going to say 3, but
no,
one?
I think on an initial, you know, where it's slotted. I'm going to ask one of my agent friends here, but I think on that rookie deal, generally, it's 1%. Because what is the agent going to do to make you any more money when the NFL has already determined how much?
Like if they
the second contract is totally different.
But with like Nike or something
that's
like
totally
that,
different.
That's a totally different percentage.
Totally different. I mean, but on the contract itself, what do you need? You don't need an agent for that. You need it for other things, you know, to just find out your draft status and things like that and to help out. But in the second contract and off-court money, sure. But these guys, 25%. They're going to be a rude awakening when they want to be an actual agent and have to, A, get certified, and B, realize, oh, man, you got to work for this.
Hey, you got to work really hard.
Certified? Oh, hell.
So it's a dirty game, and it's obviously far from perfect right now. But I do think that the NCAA is slowly, at a glacial pace, is starting to correct some of this. And it's all going to go the way that we're saying it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when it actually they arrive at that conclusion.
Yeah. Now, apparently there's like some clips of him running with the first string as well, but that means he was running. That's what you do when you're running second string. You probably go with the ones and the twos and maybe even the threes. But if you're trying to tell everybody you're a one and the footage you put out is with the twos, not a good job.
It's not a good job. No. You need to put it with Tyler Shuck handing you the ball.
There's no reason. You know, when you're the one controlling the message of your own feed, then you don't. All you have to do is show the ones with the ones.
Yeah, it's not
that's
good.
So bad. That's so like 101. Does he even know what photosynthesis means? Does he ever read Sounder? Like, what are the most basic things that you've ever learned in school?
Right. Like, mitochondria.
That's getting deep, man.
I know.
Getting the cellular level. Mitochondria. That's what you think's basic?
Yeah, mitochondria.
I still don't even know what it is.
Whatever they were talking about, cell parts.
The powerhouse.
It's the power plant.
I just
right?
know photosynthesis. All right. It's the first thing I learned, that the sun gives the plants their energy. That's
everything
it.
Was always.
Past if, that,
what
I
is
failed.
The part of the cell? Mitochondria, 100% of the time. I was like,
Herbie.
Hopefully, that's
good,
right.
Pretty good hit rate. We're fine at running back, though. I mean, Maurice Turner, Don Chaney, Kwon Brown, Isaac Brown.
No, the transfers this time of year, I fully believe it, are because the school is, you know, making their decisions. In most of the instances, because there's really not that many in the portal, right? It's like 1.5 per team right now in this part of it.
I think it's like 230.
Yeah. 230 is low number.
You'll have more in today until the portal closes.
But come on, I mean, when you get to basketball and it's the actual portal, or you get football and it's the actual, it's going to be thousands.
Oh, yeah. No, you got 80, 85
scholarships
for
per team.
133. So you're looking at 10,000 players-ish.
Yeah.
You know, that's 2%. You know, it's not that many.
No, if it's that low, it seems like people are making cuts. All right. We'll continue along here. 267-9680 is the number to get in. Jeff Brom's going to join us right around 8 o'clock. So we'll jump into a few of these topics with him. you know, it's interesting. Changing times, man. It's definitely different times and plenty to discuss. So we've got it for you here. I want to remind you, we've got U of L baseball starting tomorrow. I assume probably around 6 o'clock, right?
I would say so. That's typically the Friday, but it's down in Miami. So
we got the spring game tomorrow. Actually, I take that back. Our friends at 970 will have the baseball game, and then we'll have the baseball game at 6 o'clock Saturday and 1 o'clock on Sunday, right here as well.
Let's get it done this weekend.
Big weekend here for Dan McDonald's squad. I want to remind you as well about our friends over at Louisville Furniture. When it's time to buy furniture, make it simple. City of where you live in, the item you need. Louisville Furniture. Online, LouisvilleFurnitureKY.com. But you really got to go in person and see it with furniture. You got to feel it. You got to lay in it. You got to know, all right, is this a couch that I want to be sitting on for a long time? A sofa, love seat, whatever. A recliner, whatever you need. They've got it for you at Louisville Furniture. We have 4 pieces in my home from Louisville Furniture. And the best news is they have a huge warehouse, so it's in stock, so it can be in your home in a couple of days. It'll be about 6-8 weeks before we can get that to you. Hell with that. Let's get it in the home now and start enjoying it. It's Louisville Furniture online, LouisvilleFurnitureKY.com, and tell me who's talking about them right here.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
That is brilliant on so many levels, because it's exactly what we're talking about. Oh, and that's from the New Jack City soundtrack. Did you know that? You don't even
know that.
That is actually a version of that from the New Jack City soundtrack. track. Fine. That is absolutely.
You might want to listen to it.
Yeah. Might make sure it's. Yeah. There might be a. But that is absolutely perfect. We brought up a Nino Brown reference, and it didn't even dawn on me that it was that. That's the, like the theme song for the movie. So
yeah, it's pretty funny. That's really funny.
That is. Chase got a little lucky there, but it's brilliant. That's when luck, man. Preparation meets opportunity.
That's right. Sometimes it all comes together.
We got a lot going on here. We got Soccer City coming your way tonight. And, of course, if you want to get Lou City tickets for on a discount, go to loucity.com/Diener. We have another. We have a BATS code for Tuesdays coming up as well for Friends of Diener discount.
Oh, whoa.
Let's see. Hang on.
Tuesdays only?
Yes, all season long. All season long. Awful greedy, aren't you?
Well, no. I just wanted clarification. I didn't know if it started on a Tuesday or if it was for every Tuesday.
It's just it's for like Tuesdays.
Dinger's own Dinger Tuesday.
Yeah. Let's see. So, also $2 off every Tuesday home game the rest of the season, providing the promo code Diener ESPN on the BATS site.
Yeah.
I may have to get with Greg on that because people don't spell Diener very well.
No, you're right. But I think you're pretty well
FOD.
Known.
I think we can do it. We should probably change that to FOD.
Okay.
Friends of Diener.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, but nobody spells it. People still don't.
They always put an
the
I
text
in.
Line, they put an EA, an
is
IE.
Is that Travis Diener's fault, you think?
EH. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds.
They do EH?
DEH. Yeah, I've had them all. People overthink it.
Yeah, it's two E's.
And that's like the
two
last.
E's,
it's like the least common guess from people.
Right.
Like, is that. So.
Two E's in Diener, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's two E's in Diener. That's good. I never thought of that. That's good. We're going to get Jeff Brom on here. He's going to stop by here in about, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15
minutes. It's
exciting.
Minutes. You know,
to hell with our break schedule if he shows up.
I was thinking about our season last year, and it was such a strange year when you really get down to think about it. We benched our kicker. Virginia at halftime of a Miami game, a game that we won, the Virginia game, a guy fumbles and breaks his neck 40 yards from the goal line and they score.
Yeah.
Like, there's all sorts of weird stuff that happened. I felt terrible at halftime of the NC State and Georgia Tech games, and we won those games. I felt amazing at halftime of the Pitt and Kentucky games. We lost those games. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, there's all sorts of, at one point I thought we were going to be the best passing team in the country when we played Boston College. And then I mm-hmm. thought we were the best running team in the country in the middle of the year. And really the whole, throughout, the defense was great. The defense was awesome, except for the USC game.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, the defense was solid all the way through.
Yeah, it wasn't the way you thought that you would win games. I'm sure it's the way Jeff thought he would win games. But when you're sitting there at 10-1, you don't really care. You know, that's the whole goal.
No.
When you play a second half against Virginia Tech, when you don't even need to throw the football, then don't throw the football.
No, don't do it. And defensively, early on, I mean, you know, you got that great fumble recovery in the Georgia Tech game. You had an awesome stop in the Indiana game to kind of save that game.
Mm-hmm.
The defense made plays when they needed to. And it was just frustrating to lose the last three games of the year because the defense was so good for so long. And then against Kentucky, two-play drive. Against Florida State, mm-hmm. two-play drive. You shut them down the whole game. But a two-play drive kind of sinks you there. And it's like, okay, the defense is really good. But in those two moments, cost you.
Yeah.
So it's like you can be great for a while, but if you mess up, it, you know, what do you have? So but overall I'm hoping that Pat Kelsey can do what Jeff Brom did in year one.
Yeah.
And just blow away expectations, because I thought we'd win 8 games.
I thought we'd win 11.
I know. Insane.
But guys, people were telling behind the scenes, you know, about how well, and it's much more public this spring, but behind the scenes last year, the least reported thing on they were doing the best job of was recruiting their own roster.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of went, it wasn't given the credit it could have been or should have been given. We didn't know. You know, now you know how much, you know, work goes into recruiting your own roster. To keep your good players. You know, it's not something you take for granted anymore.
These guys are going to have to recruit the team 3 times before they after the USC game to today, to the first game when they play Austin Peay, they will have re-recruited that roster 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work. But still,
but
Jeff
Brom's the job. You know, like anymore, you people can complain about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the job. But you're also probably not spending as much time on high school players. It's not like you can invent hours in the day.
Right.
But so
I still think you want to come in second or third on high school players, because you know when they finish their Look at there. We'll let Jeff Brohm in the door. You want to, you know, when these kids hit the portal, when they hit the portal, they've only got 3 to 8 weeks to make a decision. You want to already have that groundwork laid. You know, they've seen the campus. They've seen the player. Coming in second or third isn't the worst thing.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you can come on in now. Hell, we're not going to make Jeff Brohm wait outside to Chase.
We'll just take him now. Yeah, we'll just
Sales Weasel Andrew Bosch will be out there hassling him.
We'll get you started.
Yeah, time's better spent with us than
waiting out there in the lobby. Yeah,
Want any ice cream? The Bluebell guys brought a cold case of it yesterday out there. So
we got all the Brohms.
We definitely have a quorum. We have a full quorum of Brohms. Brady, Jeff, Greg. You can grab the headphones there. As again, we'll have the spring game for you tomorrow night. And Jeff is joining us here. It's good to see you. Everybody around, huh? Son, brother, everybody.
It looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, they won't let you go by yourself. They don't trust you.
Well, everyone has a voice, I guess.
Well, let's. So, the spring game obviously tomorrow night. What have you learned about your team over the last few weeks?
Well, I think that spring practice has gone well. Without question, a lot of our guys that have been here last year are definitely ahead of the curve. They've done a really good job. All the returners have worked really hard. They've improved. We've seen it. And you can notice it in practice. And then we have quite a few newcomers. And they're making progress. They got really good talent. They're athletic. And, we just got to continue to work with them throughout the rest of the spring and summer and fall and get them ready. But we definitely think they will mesh well, and they will help us win football games.
What about Tyler Shuck? Tell us about his spring.
You know, Tyler really has done a great job. He's smart. He's got experience. He's played a lot of football. He studies it. Anytime, in my opinion, you get a guy that has 1 year left, they want to come in here and make a difference and make it work. And to this point, he's been a very good leader. We like what we've seen, without question. He's feeling good. He's healthy, and he can throw the football. And I just think that he will definitely help our offense, and we want to keep him healthy. And he's a mature young man. He got married a week or two ago, and
he's got a mortgage yet.
He's got a lot going on, but he definitely loves football, and he'll do a great job, I think, for us.
What does he remind you of anyone?
Well, I'll tell you his strengths. He's very accurate. He can throw the football.
That's good.
Those are all good qualities, correct?
Yeah.
He's got athleticism. He can run, and mm-hmm. like I said, he's just played a lot of football. So I think he's a really talented player.
Does he allow you to run the offense the way you kind of envision your offense?
Well, yes, he does. Without question, he does. I think he definitely can throw the ball, see the field, understands it, move, and buy some time when he needs to, throw a different arm angle. So yes, he has done his part, and we've got to just continue to get better around him.
Yeah, how is he as a runner? I mean, he looks like a pretty mobile guy.
Well, believe it or not, as you watch film on him, he's got a little bit of a rap of having some injuries, and he's been asked to run the ball a whole lot with design running plays, and of course we'll try to minimize that, actually design running plays as much as we can, because we don't want to get our quarterback hurt. But you know what, he does. He can tuck the ball and run what he needs to, and he can buy time. So we like his game.
What kind of format are you going to run tomorrow night for the spring game? Everybody has a different philosophy. I don't know if you have a set philosophy, or is it year by year, or what do you do?
Well, I think,
other than don't hit the quarterback.
Right. I think you see around college football that the spring game is becoming less and less of a viable game, unfortunately, just due to the change of rosters, getting guys injured, making sure you're getting people healthy to the season. And while that sounds boring to most, it is important. Like there's certain guys we have to play with this next year, or the chances of winning go down. So it's important to us that we figure out that right mix. Now for us, we're going to try to make it as game like as we can. It'll be ones on ones. Now maybe not as much live tackle as we want, but we can thud things up and still move the ball and spot it where we want. And of course, no hitting the quarterback. We got to make sure we get out of there clean. But I think you'll see quite a few guys play. Now there will be quite a few out as well that will not play, but that's just the way it's become.
You played in the NFL. Do you all feel like an NFL general manager these days with NIL and transfer portal?
Well, as everyone knows, that's the talk, and it's a huge component of the game now, and unfortunately, rosters will change quite a bit, and you can't let it get you down. You can't let it stop you from moving forward, and in the end, we want guys that want to be here, that feel good about their path to success. We're going to make sure we do that. We got a lot of coaches that work hard, that want to help our guys be great players, and if anybody wants to achieve those goals and get it done, they can do it here. And if someone wants to look at a different opportunity, then we're going to definitely help them do that as well.
Did Boone give you any specific reason why he was transferring?
Well, I think I don't want to say too many individual conversations on the air. I think we want to wish everybody the best. Unfortunately, things didn't work out for him the way he wanted. From our end, I thought he was having a good camp, and he was working hard. He was in good shape, and he would have done a very good job for us.
I know you guys are going to have a good team because there's a really bad misinformation campaign going on around you. You don't do misinformation campaigns against bad teams, so this tells me you guys are going to be pretty good. But why do you think that is? What are the motives for something like that?
Well, with college football and the lack of monitoring rules throughout the NCAA and those things that happen, you're going to get numerous teams that through numerous sources are going to spread rumors and make calls and call your players and work behind the scenes to recruit those guys. You're going to get, unfortunately, some agents slash street handlers, handlers of guys that are going to give a lot of bad information to certain people that if they follow it, then they're going to make bad decisions. And you know what? You can't control it all. But at the same time, we want a football team of guys that fit in, that love being where they're at, that work hard, that understand what we're doing. And if they don't believe in the same thing, then we encourage them to look elsewhere.
Doing what you say you're going to do and fulfilling everything you say you're going to do used to be a basic requirement. Now it's a skill, apparently. It's something that's not taken for granted. And you seem to be like the kind of guy who's lived by that. You do what you say you're going to do. So does something like that, does it piss you off?
Well, like I said, on air, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of...
just the concept of it. I mean, just people suggesting that you're not doing what you said you're going to do.
Well, it doesn't make me mad. I know you can ask our players and people that have been through here. I think we have a pretty good setup here, and we do a good job of taking care of our guys. And, we want to win here. Mm-hmm. We're going to win, and we're going to work hard to win, and we're going to provide an environment to get that done. There's a lot of... other factors now that go into whether someone wants to be somewhere or not, which is fine. That's how the game has gone. But in the end, you've got to be able to play football. You got to be able to work hard. You got to be able to be a great teammate. You got to be able to lay it on the line. And if you can, other good things can happen along the way, that's great. We want that to happen as well.
You're living this, so what changes would you suggest in all this, whether it's portal, whether it's having these guys under a contract? I mean, you've got to have thoughts on a way to make this a little bit cleaner for everyone.
Well, without question, I don't have all the answers. You know, when it comes to what it's become, without question, if you went to the NFL model, you probably have a better setup of knowing exactly what the rules are. Here's the cap. Here's how these contracts work. These guys are now going to be employees, and when they sign a contract, they're going to be required to fulfill that as well and know when it ends and those type of things. But when that happens, how, I don't know. Until then, we have to just utilize the rules to our advantage and do the best job we can. And I think everyone in college football feels close to the same way.
We're going to get the headsets this year? Do we have that? Is that coming like the a la the NFL? Like you pointed out, it was like 20 years ago and you had it in the NFL.
That is correct. The headsets are coming into play. Tablets on the sideline are coming into play. We've experimented with the headsets this spring. I think it'll be very similar to the NFL. There'll be a green dot on the helmet of guys that have the headset that are able to use that. You've got to manage and make sure if someone goes out of the game, you're able to switch helmets or do what you need to make sure that someone has the green dot. There can only be one green dot on the offense or defense at the same time. But I do think that, it took a while to get to the college game just because a lot of teams like to go no huddle and they don't want to get in a huddle. It definitely works better if you're in a huddle.
Do you want to huddle? Is that better for you or do you like
it's a thorough process. So, nowadays – as some teams know, sign stealing is a big part.
Hadn't heard about that. Was that a big story last year?
It's a big part of football. And you know, believe it or not, a lot of teams are good at it. And, yes, they do have the signs, and sometimes they find ways to get them ways they shouldn't. And we're everyone's aware of it. I mean, trust me, everyone was aware of it before some things came out.
What's a tell? When did you know, against, say, a team in a conference championship game, maybe, that they might have known your signs?
Well, when numerous other teams in the conference are calling us, telling us that's going on, we have to listen. And then, of course, when the second half play is a lot better than the first, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to adjust your signals, and you have to shield them, and you have to give some dummy ones. Or you can go in a huddle, and you can call it through the headset, and that way no one's stealing the sign. Now, does it sometimes slow you down? Yes, it's going to slow you down at times. So you kind of have to have that right mix, because a lot of teams in college want to go fast. They want to go no huddle. And unfortunately, you got to normally signal that in or have a wristband or something. So the headset will come into play and will be useful if you're really serious about the other team not stealing your signals. But sometimes it may slow you down.
So what
time on the clock does it go? Like, why would a no huddle team not? Why couldn't you talk to the guy as he's going up to the line? Or is it not?
Well, you can. Nowadays, then he has to relay to everyone else what's going on, which is fine, and that will take place. But a lot of these no-huddle teams are signaling not only to the quarterback, they're signaling to the line, they're signaling to the receivers.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, we've had some players on previous teams that
misread it, or
well, no, it's hard for them to grasp the whole idea of our offense.
Yeah.
So we sometimes would signal to them every single time what to do,
individual signals, yeah, yeah.
And you have to
run like the wind, but you can't crack the code.
and who can handle it, who not. So it's just there's a lot of dynamics that go into it, and it all depends on who's on the roster and who's on the team.
How much time in preparation does not having to learn the signals and teach the signals and you can just tell the player run this play in his head, how much time does that free up in terms of your preparation and also his development? I mean, does it help?
Well, like I said, it can get complicated. I mean, we still want to run offense and do certain things, in order to do that, you've got to really kind of grasp what we're doing. Now, sometimes learning the signals is a whole different ball game. You've got to not only know what you're doing, you got to know what the signal is. Sometimes, to be quite honest with you, to see it from the other sideline is sometimes where you have your problem. Even on defense, a lot of times when you signal defense in, if you have a mistake, it's normally the far field corner or the far field players that, hey, I didn't see it right, or I saw something else. So, we have to constantly readjust, and we sometimes change our signals. Well, that signal's dumb on our part. It looks too similar to the other one, so we got to change what it looks like. So there's a lot of dynamics to it, and you got to practice it year-round. You have to learn the signals in case, I don't know, the headset goes out, and you got to signal things. But, yes, the headset can improve everyone being on the same page, really on both sides of the ball.
Far field corner, I never thought about them. It makes total sense. Do you ever attack that as an offensive idea?
Well, a lot of times when you're running some tempo plays, you'll do some things closer to your sideline because everyone kind of can get the signal and move quickly. So, yes, it does matter.
What was did you have a highlight of last year's season? Was there a moment where you're like, okay, this was really cool? I mean, Notre Dame had to be up there, but I don't know if it was something else.
Yeah, without question, Notre Dame was a great moment for it, really because it was at home and the fans really relished in that win, and it was a big win for us. So I think even going on the road to NC State when things weren't real pretty and finding a way to win was really good. I think going down to Miami when we had to – not had to, but if we won, we clinched the conference bid to go to the championship game. We won on their field against what I thought was a very talented team. Was a huge win for us. And I just think that, you know, there's a lot of good wins, a lot of things to build on, and a lot of things to improve, of course, at the end.
Was there a moment off the field that was great for you? I mean, after whether it was celebrating or whether it was just something else you envisioned being the coach here for probably a long time. So was there a moment that you got to celebrate with anyone that was?
Well, I think you know, the big wins are what you love. So when you see the fans relish and have a great time, and you get a lot of pats on the back, of course, after Notre Dame, that's big. When you go down to Miami and you find a way to do that, that was big for us. So those moments are always filled. You know, anytime you can accomplish some things that are not easy to accomplish, those mean the most because, you know, people reach out and they love being a part of it. And, of course, we want to try to make everybody happy.
Jeff Brown with us here in studio, 93 in the Village, ESPN 680, 105.7. You know, the responsibilities are different for coaches, different for fans now, too. I mean, how do you explain to fans or try to impress upon them the need to, hey, we want to have you as season ticket holders, but we need you to contribute to the NIL? I mean, it's a changing conversation.
Well, I think that you know, our fans have been great to this point, and I think you can tell they want to win. We've had great support in all those aspects that you just mentioned, coming to the games and supporting our players, and that's just how the game has been built up and set up. And I think that, you know, people want to come to games, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, softball, track and field, volleyball. They want to see wins. They want to see championships. They want to see people compete at a high level. It's a lot of fun to be a part of. Even when we're not playing football, I like to be at those games as well, and you want to relish in those moments. So, you know, I think everyone understands how it works, who follows it and listens to things, and people have done a great job at this point supporting.
How about Kelsey's behind the back catch at your practice? That was pretty athletic.
That?
Can you do that?
I don't know if I can do that. That was really talented. And, of course, you know, sometimes you wonder, is that a trick camera view? Was that the 30th try? But from what I was told, it was the first try. So that's
is that right? It was first try?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I didn't see it myself, but that's what I was told.
Yeah, I mean, it's on replay. I mean,
how many guys on your team could do that, you think?
Probably not many.
Yeah, that was that good. What's your impressions of him? Because like, I mean, nobody knew who he was, and then he's, you know, kind of, you know, taken the town by storm.
Well, you know what? He's definitely provided an energy and spark, and you can tell he wants to win. You can tell he's going to work his tail off to get it done. You know, you got to do all the small things even before you get on the court and coach and try to win games, and he's done that. And I think that the fans have definitely embraced that, and they're looking forward to getting basketball going as well.
You know, you couldn't have paid me enough money to go to the ACC tournament this year, but there you and Brady were. Why was it important for you to be there to support the Cards at that game?
Well, I think it's always important to support all of our teams and coaches, and Coach Payne was a great person that was working really hard, and we wanted to make sure that we were there to see if we can, you know, pull off some wins. And I think that, you know, for a while we were playing some really good basketball in that game and unfortunately slipped away at the end. But, you know, you go to the Yum Center and you sit in there and you kind of just visualize having a packed house. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that we want to, however we can help, which isn't you know, doing all the grunt work behind the scenes in basketball, but however we can help and however we can help as fans really the teams embrace that. They look forward to it. And
it's going
to
help you in recruiting, obviously, if it's
it does.
A full building.
Yeah, right? You want to win games. Everyone does. And you want to make sure that our brand continues to rise.
It's tough. I was thinking like a recruiting trip, but you know everything about Louisville. Like when you were being recruited by Snellenberg, did you go to a basketball game? Of course, you probably add all the games anyway, probably back then.
Well, Coach did a great job recruiting. Yeah. I don't remember him going to a basketball game, but my memory is very selective and not very good. but he was good. You know, he was good at that aspect, and he did a great job of selling me on his vision and what really he's achieved and what he can achieve with you and his development of quarterbacks and staying home and doing it in front of the home crowd. So, of course, I learned a lot from him, and he means a big part to this program. He's the one who kind of said the bold things and said some things that we're going to accomplish when others didn't believe it, and set us on that path.
Does that still like stick with you, inspire you today, that message from him? I mean, is that part of your mission?
It does. I mean, that's what he was the best at. You know, some people, you can remember certain qualities. The best thing he could do is, you know, he could get his team to believe that they could beat anybody. And, of course, by saying bold things to the public, you know, your players sat in there like, wow, okay, he's not scared to say this to the world. And then, of course, he followed up by doing it with the team. And, of course, he followed up by, you know, 3-4 hour grueling practices. And he
followed with up no by, water, probably, right?
Not a whole lot of hydration unless you snuck to the shed behind the field. You know, we scrimmaged a long time. I remember being on a plane when I was in the NFL after, and I was coming back with a referee, and he said, yeah, you know what? One time I was leaving to go referee the Pittsburgh spring game, and we took off in the air, and I saw you guys practicing on the field. And when I came back on the plane from the game, I still saw you guys practicing on the field. I said, yeah, that's probably accurate.
That's great.
Well, Howard did say some pretty bold things. The collision course, obviously one of those. But with the college football playoff coming this year, you know, for the first time expanded to 12. It's probably closer to a reality for this program than it ever has been. You know, where are you on the playoff, and how close are we to, you know, making the playoff and doing some damage in there?
Well, I think the playoff's outstanding, not only for us as a team, but just for college sports fans. You want to see the best thing about basketball is March Madness. You get to see a lot of teams compete and have a chance to get to the end and get to the title game. And, you know, sometimes in football, when it's the same four teams always, gets a little boring to fans. So to have the ability for more teams to advance to a playoff, and for your play during the season to really matter, if you win games and beat opponents and beat people on your schedule, makes it more important. So I think it's exciting for us. And of course, you know, winning the conference and getting up to the championship game will be vital to get to that point. So we've got to work hard to
do it.
Can
you imagine the energy of that? I mean, last year was great, but to have that on the line is be unbelievable.
Without question. I think, you know, even as we look back at last season, if we found a way to win the last game of the season and we're sitting there at 11-1, we're probably got a good chance to get in the playoff. If we go to the ACC championship and win that game, of course, we got a great chance of getting in the playoff. So that's your goal, and it's sitting right in front of you. And to get a possible home game or even just a playoff game of that caliber in your stadium, that would be tremendous.
Does that still sting, the Kentucky loss?
Oh, yeah, they all sting. But, yeah, without question, that's one that we let slip away. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we had a 10-point lead, twice in the second half, and just really had some miscues that we hadn't had before. It wasn't our defense's best game as well. That hurt us. And then, of course, in the championship game, it wasn't our offense's best game. And I just think we got a lot of things to learn, and we can use those as motivational tactics to get ready for this season.
Jeff Brown with us here, 9th round, the Valley, ESPN 680.
Yeah, there were a lot of oddities in last year. We were talking about, like, losing Renato Brown in the pregame. You know, that you make a great play, Virginia ball carrier fumbles the ball, and it breaks his back, and all of a sudden it's a touchdown. There's all these weird things that happen, but you still found a way to win 10 games. I mean, you know, how difficult was it kind of mashing that season together, you know, with the parts that you had? Because I felt like you didn't always do what you maybe traditionally have done as a coach.
Well, that was the great part and the positive is our season. As our team showed a lot of fight, showed a lot of grit, we found a way to win close games, and sometimes they weren't pretty. And that's really college football. And, you know, yeah, in a perfect world, you want to shut people out, you want to stop the run, you want to throw the ball and get big touchdowns. All those matter. But at the same time, all these little small things matter, like the turnovers in the Pittsburgh game were critical that really hurt us. Giving up big plays in that game really hurt us. And to find a way in NC State to just kind of grit it out, play good defense, get a couple interceptions at the end, helped us win, kick a long field goal, thank you. You know, at Notre Dame, play great defense, stop the run, and then be very efficient on offense of running the ball and controlling the clock and not giving them possessions and just hanging in there. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, pulling away was huge. You know, as we got through the season, you know, we probably ran the ball more consistently than we thought we were going to preseason, but that was kind of our strength, and we built off that. So every year's different. You never know you know, what your strength's going to be till you get through spring, even till you get to summer and even to fall camp. But we definitely want to have the ability to score points and touchdowns in a lot of ways. We want to have the ability to play aggressive defense, but yet not give up big plays. And what's that perfect balance? And then, of course, special teams, you know, you have to find a way to get an edge. And at times, we were really good, and then there were a few miscues that really hurt us.
Jeff Brown with us here, 9th round, the Valley, ESPN. You can drink some of that water if you want.
Yeah.
We're giving him long session here in studio. I mean, how much will having a fuller tight end room help you this year and what you want to do?
Well, that's an important position for us, and I think in order to be a consistent offense and have the ability to run the ball with a little physicality, give the quarterback a target in between the hashes where you don't have to throw outside the numbers always, to be able to play action and hit guys up the seams that have some speed and talent is very important. So we've worked hard to improve it. We've still got a ways to go. We definitely have more pieces. They're working really hard, and that has to be a really strong point of our team.
Yeah, you all were really good at running the ball, but on third down – that, you know, probably wasn't the season that you were hoping for on third down. It's kind of one of those oddities I was talking about. You know, typically teams that run the ball as well as Louisville did last year to have a way better third down percentage. What do you think went on with that, and how are you going to do better in 2024?
Well, I think third down defenses get exotic, and you know, throwing the football, you've got to be more efficient, and you've got to be able to make plays. And then, of course, there are times where you've got to run the ball on third down in a manageable situations. But you know, we just got to get better at it. And I think that, you know, throwing and catching, having some creative looks that help us out is important. And it's something you just got to study, because it's obviously vital to move the chains and get points. And you know, that's something that we always work hard at.
One of the things we were talking about a little bit earlier is, you know, with all the transfer and everything else that goes on, I mean, recruitment of high school players, how much has that changed philosophically rather than just grabbing transfers?
Well, we will always use the traditional format of recruiting top high school prospects, trying to get the best ones in state and around the surrounding area if we can, building the team around that with that foundation. But at the same time, you know, today's college football is about, unfortunately, guys can leave after mm-hmm. 1 year. So it may not be quite as important because, well, if they're not playing, are they going to be happy? Are they going to leave? And are you wasting time? But we will still always do that. But at the same time, we have to improve our roster yearly. The importance of winning is now. It's not down the road, in my opinion. So mm-hmm. this year, we need to win. So however we need to get that done, it needs to be discussed and looked at. And we do it all the time. And with the different portal windows mm-hmm. and the ability to move around, that's is a constant. So just when you think you've worked a lot of guys that you feel good about it, that can drastically change. And you know what? That's just the way it is. So using post-May 1 as the ability to yeah. somehow set your roster and move forward, that's when we got to even put in a lot of work there.
Do you get to enjoy Derby? I mean, do you get to finally relax a little bit then? Or is that like, I got to be on the phone with the transfer portal guy here or there?
Well, no, I'm looking forward to Derby. It's yeah. going to be a great week, and I'll be out there and having a good time.
Oaks and Derby, or how do you do?
No,
how
I'm probably going to be out there for both those this year.
Where do you sit there in the Kentucky?
Wherever the hell he wants, Mark.
I know that.
Well, I don't really know. I know I'm somewhere on the track. And, you know, nowadays, there's not a bad seat.
No.
And nowadays, you know, quite a bit of refreshments and nutrition can,
oh, yeah.
can be utilized yeah. wherever
everywhere.
You're at. So
wherever
we'll
you are.
Definitely do that.
And are you getting to meet Kyle Petty, the thing that the Monday afterwards? We were talking to him the other day. And he's like, they're doing this motorcycle ride, like Herschel Walker's coming through and all
well,
that.
Well, I have been told by a gentleman
David Blake
Mr. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Chick-fil-A comes out. He's a huge supporter of us. I see him all the time. He's always generous and brings me my unsweet son Joy every time.
Oh, that's your go-to?
Well, you know what? Years ago, I tried to get rid of soft drinks, and that's about the only thing I can drink that gives me a good taste that's not a soft drink. But anyway, David has definitely invited me for that, and I'm looking forward to it.
The draft's coming up in Garindo, the way
oh my
he
God,
tested.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you surprised at that at all? I mean, I think we all knew that he was an athlete, but to that level of an athlete, that was off the charts.
Well, that's a tremendous combine performance. You know, when we recruited him out of Wisconsin, unfortunately, we played against him at Purdue. We never beat Wisconsin. They just would run the ball right down our throat. I mean, it was like we never could stop the bleeding. And he had a couple big runs. Now, he didn't play a ton, but he had a couple big runs, and one where he just broke away. And you're like, man, that guy's fast. So fortunately for us, he's from Indianapolis. We have a lot of connections. We knew people that knew him, blah, blah, blah. And that's how recruiting works. And we knew he had track speed. So we did know he had track speed. Now, when we got him, we had Jawar Jordan. We felt really good about him. We felt our running back room was pretty good, but we needed, you know, maybe one more, especially a bigger back, and we found the bigger back. And when he came in, to his credit, he wasn't our starter. Never complained, never moped around, never said anything negative, just always worked hard, was a great teammate, did special teams for us, very durable, didn't miss practice, had good hands. And you know, Jawar, unfortunately, maybe the sixth game or so, went down with a knee injury, even though he played through it, which I give him credit. He just wasn't quite the same because that knee was bothering him. He had to have surgery at the end of the season. So to his credit, he played through it for six games. But that's when Isaac really kind of stepped into the role, and you started to say, okay, this guy, once he gets warmed up, he's really good. Once he gets going downhill, he's hard to tackle and he's fast, but he has track speed and he's really strong and he's explosive. So that for the vertical and broad jump, there goes great results there. But the 40 time was tremendous. So anybody at that size that runs that, and trust me, I've had a ton of calls on his behalf, actually a ton of calls on Jawar's behalf. But I think
will he get drafted too? You think they both get drafted?
I think they will. Mm-hmm. I think Isaac's obviously his performance might. Yeah. You know, push him up. Hopefully, a
third,
little bit.
Fourth round.
You know what? Yeah. It's a possibility without question.
Yeah. Just a couple minutes here left with Jeff Brom, was kind enough to stop by studio. The spring game, of course, coming your way tomorrow night. You told a great story last year on the coaches' shows about Jennifer coming up with a trick play that encouraging you. The trick play that actually worked. I think that was Western. Has she offered up any more play calling help?
Well, for the last few weeks, I haven't seen her a whole lot. It's been kind of busy. You know what? Just yesterday, we put in a whole bag of trick plays just to have in our arsenal for tomorrow. They probably none of them will work, but we put them in.
Did you name any of them after coaches?
We have some names on them that we can't reveal yet. But you know what? Having some excitement, we really got to get that going. I felt like last year the trick plays.
Yeah, you're boring. Just say it. Come on. You're boring.
As we would like. So, yes. You
feel you owe it? Like, you have a guilty conscience about it?
No, I do. I feel bad about it because that's what kind of makes things fun and exciting. So, we've got to kind of really juice that up a little bit somehow.
I don't know. The fake kneel down before halftime.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
That was a winner for me.
We did do that one. That one was good.
Yeah. Where do you pick them up? I'm just like.
Oh, shoot. You know what? It's just from past history of playing. It's from. Past teams that we were on, it's from research, it's from just watching games. Half the time you steal them from a team, not really necessarily a college or...
I'd say a high school team probably has some pretty good ones, right?
One of my best ones was the double reverse throwback screen that we've used quite a bit. It helped us beat Michigan State when they were undefeated. I think we may have used it versus...
NC State last year
for Gaines. But it's interesting. A lot of times, like the first time we ever called it... was a touchdown. So a lot of times these new ones, when you first use it, it's like, man, this is really good. And unfortunately, the more you practice it, the more we screw it up as coaches. So what we normally do is
don't
practice it one time, and we say, all right, that's it. Coaches quit coaching it, quit screwing it up, just let the players play, and that's when it works its best.
Yeah. We tried in the USC game that a kickoff return, like looking at it, did not work, but I'm like, I hope they try that again because I kind of like that concept, but they were right on it. I mean, USC, I don't know if we screwed it up or if USC
stole
just,
the signals, probably.
I don't know. Maybe they stole the signals, but I like the concept of that. It just did not work.
The concept was good. It was stolen by someone else that were really good. Unfortunately, the mechanics of it, we might have even bobbled it. There was just some things that threw it off, and if it's thrown off a little bit, then it looks terrible.
Right.
So unfortunately, it looked terrible. So our special teams coach Carl Moslas, he'll tell you, like, I'll send him things I see all the time on Twitter, whether it's 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and we worked a few things yesterday, but you do need to get one or two a year that could be beneficial.
So still no hobbies? You're sending plays at 2 and 4 in the morning, or do you pick any hobbies up?
Not a whole lot of hobbies. Yeah. You know, I went on spring break for a few days. That was a hobby of mine.
Yeah, it worked out well. And the Brom family got three of the four answers of the best trivia question I know about the name of the schools as a color.
Oh, that's great. That's good. That's a good trivia question, really. Yeah.
We got all the answers right between all of us, but yes, we were able to.
Well, there's not a lot of time for hobbies. He's throwing out the first pitch. Yeah. He's going all these things.
Any concerts coming up? I mean, you like concerts. Anything coming up?
You know what? There's a possibility. I looked into the Bruno Mars.
Friday
Oaks night maybe.
Yeah,
that's a possibility.
I think you can probably get in there. Yeah,
that might be a really good one. Right,
they got a look in your eye about that one.
You know, I was asking questions yesterday about it. I think someone told me it's going to be in the parking lot across from. Slugger Field.
Isn't it Junior Bridgman's party?
I think it is.
So how many do you need for that? What do we need?
Well,
Four, six? What are we talking about?
Let's talk after.
Yeah. No, on the air. This is where you beg for things. Yeah, this is how you get it. I beg. You can demand.
That's how you become a radio Jedi. That's how you do that. You ask for things on the air, and then they somehow arrive.
So Jeff Brom needs help with tickets to that for Bruno Mars. Get it done, listeners. Let's get it done.
And that's Oaks Night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a lot going on. My phone
better be blowing up here in about 5 minutes with offers. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks. We kept you a long time. Thanks for hanging out and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jeff Brom with us here. We'll continue along. It's Dina Show, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680.